And it's edition three of ZavChat for 2025. Welcome along. Great that you've joined us. We're with our principal, Bill Doherty. Morning, Bill.
Morning, Shane. Morning, Wilbur. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Mr. Doherty. It's good
You're
to be
always
here.
Good, Wilbur, which is great. Hey, there's been a few great events since we last caught up. A great afternoon spent down at the Roach Oval with Scotch, and a really stirring victory from our boys. A wicket taken those first few overs. I thought the grandstand was going to fall apart, Wilbur.
Yeah, so did I.
The noise was amazing. I went down on Saturday to have a chat to yourself, Bill, and then I couldn't leave. It was just too exciting. I could not walk away from that game.
It is great. It's one of the great things about cricket. And obviously, I'm still buzzing from last night, opening night of the musical. Yeah. Pirates of Penzance, really special. Girls, just terrific. Our boys couldn't have been prouder. Some wonderful talent and
what's
exceptional
the name,
voices.
What's the name of the boy who was the Major General?
That'd be Jules Lane.
He was unbelievable.
Like, worth the price of admission on its own to have that rendition. So they all did wonderfully, Richard O'Shaughnessy and the whole crew. So
we've got a very special guest today. Do you want to introduce
him? We do. It's a real pleasure. Our head of property and major projects, John Lincoln. John's been a fundamental part of our team over the last few years and enabling Xavier to get to where it is at the moment, structure-wise. John, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Shane.
Great to see you, John.
John, lovely to sort of tip in. It sometimes we get quite consumed by major projects, and that's a pretty core part of your role of executing those. We might get to that in a little while, but over the life doesn't stop in the area of property, from grounds and maintenance and heritage, etc., to all of the little works that we try and keep ticking to move the college forward in different ways and make a difference. So the summer period is one of those peak times, and there was a heap happening.
Frenetic activity over the summer period. That's correct, yes.
And it's sort of a pretty similar diet each year. It's the big break to actually get things done. But it must require a hell of a lot of planning.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think the stats were this Christmas we would have moved roughly 50 teachers in and around. The Christmas before, I think it was more like 80, particularly moving into the Costco building. We've spent a good part of last year settling the Costco building in terms of getting everyone comfortable and getting the building operating. So the builder's out of there now, so it's all over to us. The defects liability period is ended and, the building's running well.
It's running incredibly well. It's lovely here that it runs well behind the scenes, from that building management sort of point of view. But certainly in terms of the difference it's making for teachers and especially our students, it's quite incredible.
So, Wilbur, do you ever go into any classes in the Costco building? I'm interested to hear.
My Year 12 English teacher, Mr. Maloney, has a homeroom in the Costco building. So I'm lucky enough to be able to go there and have English in his homeroom. I just think it's such a wonderful space. I was talking to Mr. Bernie Breischer the other day about it. He has a few of his classes in there and he just thinks that the space that it creates to learn and grow as a group, it's just second to none.
It's really wonderful, Wilby. You're hearing like some of our most experienced teachers, and David, a senior English teacher, to think that he's now taking some of those 7 and 8 classes and bringing his expertise into that space, infusing that with other, pedagogy experts right at that, challenging but really important 13, 14-year-old stage is inspiring. For those junior boys to see, a senior English class walk in and to see their Mr. Maloney teaching that, these are really good byproducts of what's been a fantastic build, John.
I mean, I love to see how built form can change behaviours, and there is no doubt that that's doing it down the Costco building. Both student and teacher behaviours are changing. I also say we've taken the college to a new level of sophistication in terms of its built form, in terms of all the services and the ability, the ESD side of things, in terms of that the sustainability side of things down on the building. When you compare that to, for example, the rig, I often say some of the classrooms in the rig, the only sophisticated element in those classrooms is the light switch.
It may not be an understatement.
That's about as sophisticated as it gets.
Correct. Just maybe unpack a little bit, John, some of these great ESD features, because they operate throughout the entire building. It's populated on screens.
Yeah, it's
to
all there
alert
on show,
the boys,
correct, yeah.
to infuse that learning. But also there's some great little features in rooms of how we can be more sustainable in our thinking. So
yeah, everything's on a time switch, so we can switch things on and off, and we can program things to come on and off. And we've also got sensor lights now through everywhere. We can open up the windows at any point in time so that we're using fresh air. That turns off the air conditioning, as it were. So in terms of electricity, we also have the solar on the roof, which is generating electricity during the day. And the boys can see at any point in time whether or not we're generating more solar than using, as it were. So how much of that goes back into the grid versus how much we consume on the site. So there's a lot of little elements. The other aspect of it is even just in terms of the construction material we used, we look to use a lot of sustainable materials through the build.
Mm-hmm.
And even before that, you know, when you come and look at what we did through the excavation, through the demolition, a lot of that material was also recycled and reused. So, yeah, big sustainability focus.
Can I just ask, as I throw over to Wilbur, one little thing. There's a little green light in each of the rooms, and this building started at the back end of COVID and went through, and the rooms are individually ventilated, et cetera. Just explain that little feature,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, so every when you've got air in a particular room, what you don't want to do is have that air go and circulate through the rest of the building in the other rooms. So every particular individual classroom is isolated and fresh air directly from outside. And the little green light is there to say that the outside conditions are satisfactory for you to open the window. So you can actually open the window and bring in outside air and turn off the air conditioning. So
impressive.
Yeah, it's a great little feature.
Yeah, John, you spoke about learning behaviours earlier and how the space can create a positive learning environment. I 100% couldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you anymore. What amount of thought and design really went into that? Because I know probably wasn't an easy process. There's some features that I've picked up on, like you can teach from both sides of the classroom. But yeah, how much work really went into that?
There was a lot of consultation through the early stages. And in fact, even in terms of the design of the new rig, that consultation's still continuing. We're continuing to try and improve those learning behaviours. We had some external experts come in and, you know, give us advice in terms of learning systems, etc. But there was also a lot of consultation within our own teachers in terms of what that might look like. I think the biggest change there was to get the lockers out of a corridor, bring the lockers into an open space. I mean, they're an important part of the day's activities, but getting them out of a corridor and providing some more generous areas, that was one of the biggest things. And then dividing the learning areas up into five classrooms per learning area and breaking the building up in that respect. So, yeah, there was a lot of thought given to that.
So if you're a Burke Hall parent listening today, we're talking to John Lincoln. He's our head of property and major projects. He's been with us for quite a few years, has a history that goes back, and it's really interesting, John, and I'd like
red
to
and black history.
Explore that in a moment, if we may. But I think for Burke Hall parents, pretty exciting to know what's ahead with that fantastic Cosca building that you've been talking about, and then in time an upgrade to of the rig wing, which will be also incredibly exciting for the school as a whole. But in terms of Burke Hall itself, there are changes happening there as well, John. Do you want to talk us through a few of those?
Yeah, well, just recently with the Year 7s and 8s moving out, we upgraded the Rupert Mayer building, so we went through all of those classrooms, put in UAV. We actually gave them a coat of paint and really tidied those up in terms of the air conditioning and lighting, etc. So all the new LED lighting all the way through. So that was sort of a refurbishment there. We've also then down there relocated the library and given a whole new library space. And there are other things to come. You know, we're looking at the landscaped areas. We've already done the landscaped area outside Studley Hall.
Yeah, it's great
so
now to walk into.
Pacified that zone a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're looking at other areas further down next to the basketball court and how we might create some more play areas. And then particularly over on the other side, we're looking at other play areas and how we develop those areas as well.
Fantastic. Bill, a lot of people wouldn't realise John's history in education. It's really interesting.
It is great.
And you had him taking a group there a couple of years ago. Tell us about that.
It is great. So Lex and I share a little bit of our a bit of a past, proud red and black history. So John, as a Brizzy boy and a Terrace boy, there's a few Terrace boys who have made it down this way as well. Just a little bit about maybe, you know, your journey heading growing up and maybe what took you at least into the building form.
Yeah, well, it's Gregory Terrace, graduated in 1982.
I'll so come back about one thing in your great graduation year as well. So don't tip that one in just yet.
Okay, but, I'll stay away from that.
But just for everyone, when you're talking about Terrace, as you call it, is that like a Xavier of Brisbane?
Yes, it would be. Yeah,
okay,
correct.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yep. It's a GPS school in
right.
Brisbane.
Yep.
Graduated there in 82. And in recent years, I've been also then on, I had a lot of education experience. So I've been on the board of St. Kevin's, chair of the St. Kevin's Property Committee, currently on the board of Loretto.
Ah, yep.
And chair of the Loretto Property Committee there. So I do enjoy the educational space. And particularly just seeing the changes and the impact that you can make through the built form within the educational areas.
And can I say, Shane, and to Wilbur, like that element of governance with John's really clear understanding, not only of education, but what's important in terms of reporting up, getting people into a loop, getting them comfortable, perceiving issues that really decision makers need to know about and what information that has been absolutely invaluable to our process. So when we come in, on budget, under budget, on
under
time.
Budget, yeah.
There's a fair bit of pride that goes in that from John and the team, but the interface that he has with the project management group and then up with board and project control groups, etc., has just been invaluable to give comfort, but also really clear execution. I'm going to take you back, though, John, to 1982, if I can, because you said you graduated. In that year, I might have started the next year, actually. and I can remember on the front cover of the 1983 annual publication was a fantastic photo of a rowing boat. It happened to be the first eight, and there's a pretty special history behind it. So, John, why don't you pick up that bit of story?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be cox of the first eight in 1982. And we won the Head of the River for the very, very first time ever.
Wow.
For the school, you know, after 100 years of competition.
And Terrace is 150 this year.
Yeah. Right.
So just to put
couple
that
of
in
years
perspective.
Ahead of us, yeah.
So we won that race literally by, I think, 2 feet. And I can tell you it still gives me tingles when I think about that particular race. For those that may know a little bit about rowing, we were a good length and a half behind with 700 to go. So plenty of clear water. Brisbane Grammar, who were the favourites that year, were out in front. And I distinctly remember my call at that 700 metre mark where I looked out of the boat and saw them quite a fair way away. And I remember turning to the stroke, Pat O'Keefe, who was in front of me. And I said, Pat, you know, we are going to have to sprint from here to the finish. And it's curious, at no point in time did I ever think that we were ever not going to win.
Gee, that's
and yet
interesting.
We were so far behind.
Yeah.
And I turned to Pat and said, and Pat sort of nodded and I counted them in. I said, on the third stroke, we are going to sprint for the finish. I gave them one, two, and on the third stroke, I almost got thrown out of the back of the boat. The boat just lifted up and we rowed through them. 700, we took a length and a half, we won by 2 feet.
Gee.
Isn't it great?
What a great story.
It was like it was yesterday.
Gee whiz.
At a cox does. No, it's a pretty proud history in the family too. And your daughter went on to cox the Loretto first aid as well, John.
Yes.
That must be proud.
For 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. Actually, all four children. I live vicariously through my children now in terms of their rowing
career. Quite a few parents say that.
Yes, all four have been captain of boats at their respective schools. All four have actually rowed in the first eight. Our Eliza for 3 years, and then actually went on to Cox Australia's youth eight as well over in
correct
overseas.
Pretty proud moment where John shared a bit of a race call, and the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree. I know the tree it came from. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say, but it's pretty inspiring. And I love the role a cox plays as the coach on the water. to our boys.
Yeah, to inspire the boys. Yeah, and I think that's what it is. You know, motivator of men and women, that's the role, to get the best out of them, yeah.
And you're certainly doing that with a lot of the brilliant work you're doing here at Xavier College. When I first got to know you, John, when you, not long after you started, you really fought through a pretty severe illness, a big health issue. You seem to have come out the other side of that and... you're inspiring, and look what's happened over the summer. We've got the junior boarders now in New Digs. Do you want to take us through a little bit of that, and how is your health? Are you flying along okay?
All good, yeah. So, yeah, cancer-free, so that's thank you. So that's all good and moving forward. And I might pick up on something that Bill sort of said earlier, because he constantly referred to team. And I know there's a conversation about the role that I play, but a lot of that has to do also with the team that we've got here. You know, the guys from Island Brown have been superb. People from Case Mealon, MGS, our architects, etc. There's a big team that actually roll in to try and make a project a success. And we're very fortunate that we've got some very, very good people that are dedicated to the school.
Yeah. So, John, I've just got one for you. So the Year 12s right now have just gone through all of their careers meetings with Miss Vanderpoel and her team. So I'm going to take you back to 1982. You've just won Head of the River. What are you sort of thinking of? Like, do you know you want to get into this construction space? And for a Year 12 boy like myself who's wanting to get into building and construction, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think building and construction for me is all about experience. I would be saying go and get as much experience as you possibly can. It's all about being on site, seeing things. While the degree is important and nowadays probably, you know, necessary, use all of those holiday periods, etc., to get experience and be in and around on a site. I myself actually have a Bachelor of Commerce, so I actually don't have a degree in construction or anything like that. Everything I know, I've just learnt on the job. To me, yeah, experience. So, and there are plenty of builders and others around there that would be very happy to take the boys on for you know, a semester or even just a holiday period. Even if they're just sweeping and working, labouring, for example, you'll still get to see and learn a lot from that.
And John, just take us through like just a quick 30-second sort of journey. Pretty hard to sum up. I'd spend 6 minutes, I reckon, on a race call with you, with a rowing race. But you know, what would have been your major projects that you've been involved with over the course of your journey up until now?
Been very fortunate. Those of you might have been down to Southgate and dined at some of the restaurants down there. Well, I was responsible for the delivery of Southgate back in 1992.
Talking about the southern bank of the Yarra.
Those restaurants and everything through there. So I was the development manager on that and did all the leasing and all the restaurants, brought all the restaurants in there. We opened 11 restaurants on one day there.
Wow.
And a lot of people looked at us and going, well, you're on the wrong side of the river. Why is it ever going to work over there? And now they're going, well, you haven't got enough restaurants. You need more. So that was that one. And if you've ever been to Darwin, I did the Darwin Waterfront Project, which was about $1.45 billion. And it was the convention centre, wave pool, and a whole lot of infrastructure up there for the Darwin Waterfront. So I've even gone and done some of my own developments where we've produced housing. And that I find very rewarding to actually, you know, build someone's home.
So, sorry, Bill, just a quick one. In terms of Xavier, you're relatively new to Xavier in terms of its 150 almost year history, but how do you see the vision? Do you feel like it's marching forward in a really promising way, which is the feel I get from the outside?
Yeah, well, without question. I mean, we're going about this the right way. In my view, we're going about it the right way. We've produced a master plan. We've looked at the built form in terms of where things can happen. We've got some constraints on the site around heritage, etc. So we've got to really be careful about how we move forward with those constraints. But the direction is very clear, and we are just stepping about prosecuting that direction, which is, for someone like me in terms of delivery, is wonderful because you know where you're going.
Yeah, and I think that is paying off, John, in terms of what we're electing to prosecute and how what we're focusing on. You've mentioned the rig before, and that's undoubtedly an area of priority for us. We're very well developed in our planning around almost Cosca Mark II, to be fair, and be quite influential. Wilbur, I'm always interested to get the perspective of a student of, you know, things we haven't had much of a chat about this, but, you know, what are the things that you sense that would be provide a great uplift here in the sort of academic core of the senior school?
Yeah, well, coming into my role this year, a lot of it's sort of pastoral-based and wellbeing-based. For those that don't know, the student consults, so the six boys that we meet with Father Middleton once a week, and the first question that he asks is there anyone that you're worried about within your year level and the school in general? So I think wellbeing is one that really needs an uplift. Like, we've got a huge, like, great wellbeing team at the moment, and it's just moved into a great new space. But yeah, I think that's the sky's the limit for the wellbeing department and getting as many boys involved in that. And then one other, I think the canteen and the tuck shop area.
I was guessing that might have been number one.
Absolutely flooded at lunch. So, yeah, if we can create a bit more space around that and a really dedicated and thoughtful dining experience, that'd be awesome. So, yeah.
Well, Wilbur, have we got good news for you? And not as well pre-planned, but it is. I love you mentioning actually the new space that we have created for the wellbeing. We're being thoughtful in terms of all the areas that we're having sort of, if you like, light touch, thoughtful renovations to what we can sort of reuse and reorientate, etc. And there'll be a lovely stepping stone we expect from the team moving up into there and creating, you know, a new presence and program, and then being able to hopefully move into this new rig building. We're about to move into a capital campaign of various dimensions, and in due course we'll obviously advise our community really thoughtfully around that. There's been a lot of background work that's occurring, but wellbeing and a wellbeing centre, so that, you know, walk in to a space where you can succeed and be cared for in any dimension. You mentioned Miss Vanderpoel before, and Future Pathways will be present in there. The health team will be present in there. The counselling team will be present in there. The co-curricular and diverse learning teams can be present in there. And just a wonderful space for the wraparound services in a really holistic way that's part of our Jesuit education. Then Hills, you know, moving into a few other gathering spaces.
Yes.
A dining hall and a cafe would be core there.
And I know you were keen, and it is on the plan, to get at least four new house areas into there, which would get you, I think, to your magic 10 all having a home. Is that right?
That's correct, Shane. Yeah, we're very keen to make sure every boy's got a really tangible physical home here. We had a prototype right at the commencement of COVID around two spaces, so Ignatius and Spindler benefit from those at the moment. Claver's got a bit of a renovated new space as well, so that's terrific, and probably one other might get added in due course. But this building will allow another four. And certainly all of the great learnings that we've taken pedagogically and in terms of its shape and form, the neighbourhoods John was referencing before, are ideal to house structure, but also to great breakout curriculum areas and how that can come alive. So the top two levels will be almost a Cosca Mark II, and some wonderful curriculum and pastoral spaces, a fantastic forum to promote conversation and communication skills. We'll unpack that in due course. And then some other gathering spaces for boys.
I've got one more question because we are running out of time. Jump in, John, and then I'll give you my last one.
I was just going to say, I mean, you talk about light touches. I mean, there is only so much you can do with the existing buildings and the shape of the existing buildings and how we can refurbish within those buildings. And it does get to a position where you go, well, look, you know, the building has passed its useful life. And I think that's partly with the rig. You know, there's not much that we can do in there within the existing building, and I think that's where it genuinely needs to be reimagined.
Great. And that careful prosecution of the idea of going, what can we reuse and how can we be really thoughtful around expenditure, and but then that's got to be balanced with impact, you know, and what it actually delivers. And just watching again how John and that wider team he mentioned, you know, went about prosecuting the idea and coming then to a build form that will be highly credible.
Because we did actually start off looking to see how we could reuse the rig in its existing form.
We've ended up somewhere else.
We did,
Which is interesting. True. It's great that you've brought up the word idea, because my last question was simply going to be this. I want to know, what's been your biggest challenge in these 3 or 4 years? But in brackets I'm putting next to it, you can't say when Bill walks up to you and says, I've actually got a really good idea, John.
That's one of the
challenges. It's a pretty common occurrence.
In 2020, Bill said, I said, I need a building and I need it done in 3 years. I'm going, you need what?
And you did. Was that your biggest challenge?
Oh, that was a challenge, absolutely. Yeah, that was because of, again, we've got, and these days, and rightly so, but there is much more legislation in and around the built form. And in terms of our governance side of things, there's a lot more that we have to say and produce. So
I think John's greatest insight has been the fact that whenever I walk up to him, he needs to find another way to go. it's been a great partnership.
Well, if you're a regular listener to Zav Chat, you'll be starting to get the vibe that that's our new clever Michael Trappett-inspired intro to Around the Grounds. Wilbur.
Thanks, Hills. Yeah, so yesterday we had our Xavier Expo in the Rig Quad. It was a huge success. We did a lead-up event to the World's Greatest Shave, which is another thing I really want to give a big plug to. Last night, I was just kept scrolling up on the World's Greatest Shave page, and we've ticked over $100,000.
Already?
$100,000 to help beat blood cancer. So
brilliant.
I'm just so proud of that and how the boys have rallied around that. And I think there's almost over 200 boys in the whole school doing it.
Gee.
So, yeah, we're trying to beat 106,000 was last year, and we're trying to get to 150,000 this year. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge effort. On Wednesday... So yesterday we had the Year 12s had our first English sack, which is a big milestone in terms of our academic year. The Year 7s and 8s also had an assembly yesterday where they got told about all the things happening, such as the World's Greatest Shave. And tomorrow we've also got our second voluntary mass of the year with Sam Pozzi, one of my great mates, giving his reflection. So I've been excited for that all week. And today, the big one, we've got our house summer carnival. So that's a really big moment. We spoke about the house system earlier. And yeah, it's a big moment for house competition and rivalries in there and really getting involved and driving that culture with your house. Yeah, so
brilliant.
And with the tuber or whatever it is playing in the background.
Yes, I can hear that.
It's great to get a plug to our, you know, the vibrant life of Xavier College. So.
And folks, if you're listening on a Thursday, which most people do, Thursday, Friday, maybe the weekend, we now have a new refreshed newsletter. Comes out every Thursday. It's called Sursum Quarter, which is pretty appropriate. This week there'll be a wonderful piece from the Rector, Father Middleton, to lead it off. And then on the odd week, you'll always hear from Bill, our principal. So please look for Sursum Quarter. We're getting great feedback on it. But right now we're going to finish this episode of Zav Chat. John, you're doing brilliant work. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's been a great chat as always, John.
And a little bit.
Wilbur, well done on English. One behind you. So,
yeah, thank
and
you.
On we go.
Great stuff, Wilbur. I think our guest might be turning 6-0 too. We might just talk about that off air. And Michael Trappett, once again, thank you. We'll see you for Zav Chat 7 days hence.